what a day will soon take place when the redeemed of Adam's race in an instant will all be transformed. They'll come from near, some from afar, on past the moon, beyond the stars. What a sight on that great happy morn. God's mighty angel takes a stand upon the sea and on the land, and he sounds that great trumpet blast. Then like a thousand thunders roar, declares the time shall be no more. We'll stop for this is the last. The trump will sound, amens resound, the saints will rise upon the ground, such singing and shouting. We run the race, we'll see his face, and start to sing amazing grace. What a sight on the resurrection morn. Then sea and land give up their dead, the earth too long has been their bed. Released, they rise through the air. They'll come and join us, magnetron, to gather round that great white throne. Behold, their King waiting there. The mighty band will start to play the hallelujah chorus that day. All glory to the King of all kings. Then tears of joy will start to flow, because I've chosen long ago to be there when the saints start to sing. The trump will sound, amen's resound, the saints will rise up from the ground, such singing and shouting. We run the race, we'll see his race, and start to sing amazing grace. On the resurrection morn, we run the race, we'll see his face, and start to sing amazing grace. What a sight on the resurrection morn.
Well, thank you, folks. Open your Bible this morning to Matthew 27. That's the first book in the New Testament. And you'll find it there, Matthew chapter 27. I got a little confused a little while ago, which doesn't take much these days to do that. But Kelly, Bob Gray's wife, was also a young girl in this church. She was a queen, am I right? That's right. A couple of the old timers here, Scott and Delbert, they know that. But anyway, so Kelly was also a member of this church, and then they went to Texas along with the Grays, the Queens and the Grays, and Brother Bob and Kelly got married, and so they're both coming back to a place that they used to belong in church when they were youngsters. That's what I was thinking, and my mind didn't grasp it all until just recently. There we go. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. I'm going to begin reading with verse 1, Matthew 27. The Bible says, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. I want to speak this morning on this subject. What have I done? What have I done? Lord, bless us, I pray, as we look in your word. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. May you have your way in our hearts today. Oh God, you know the work that needs to take place this morning. So I trust you, give it to you. Acknowledge that I need your help. Without you, we can do nothing. And so please speak to us this morning. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And be seated. Keep your Bible open here. We'll look at these verses and maybe another place as well. It's amazing to realize how a person can do or accomplish something so good or so bad that their name is associated with that subject or that title or whatever forever. Forever. For instance, when you hear the two names put together, Bonnie and Clyde, you probably think of gangsters. Okay? By the way, you thought Clyde Barrows was dead. He goes to this church. And isn't that right, Clyde? There he sits, right back there. Okay? So, just so you know, watch yourself around here. He's part of our security detail, amen? But anyway, you see him carrying that violin case? That's nope. No, I'm just teasing. I'm just put that on the internet. That'll go over good, right? Anyway, Bin Laden. That's a name that's associated with terrorism, right? Okay. Henry Ford. Good try. No, associated with the automobile. Sorry about that, Brother Greg. Henry Ford, associated with the automobile. Adolf Hitler, genocide. Judas. You said it. I didn't have to. Betrayal. Betrayal. And I speak, of course, of Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 men that Jesus called out to be with him in the days of his public ministry. The Bible talks about Judas here and in other places. Judas was a trusted man among the group of 12. Did you know that? A trusted man. He was chosen to have the oversight of the money that was accumulated by that first group of those followers of Christ. And he had the bag, the Bible says. That's the treasurer. He had the money bag. And he was a trusted disciple. The other disciples never had a clue that evil was working in Judas's heart. Do you remember when Jesus sat down with them at the Last Supper? And he told them, he foretold that group of 12, one of you is going to betray me. None of them looked at Judas and said, you're the man. None of them. Not a one of them looked at Judas Iscariot. Now, evidently, there was nothing about Judas, his outward actions, his outward behavior, that gave the other disciples any clue as to what was going on inside of him. In fact, something dark and sinister took place in Judas's heart at the Lord's Supper. The Bible tells us in another place that when Jesus identified Judas as the one who was going to betray him, how did Jesus do that? He handed Judas the sop, which was he put a piece of bread in the juice or gravy and whatever, and he passed it over to Judas. And in doing so, he identified Judas as the one that was going to betray him. The Bible says, and after the sop, Satan entered into him. So Satan enters into Judas Iscariot after Jesus identifies him as the betrayer. But watch this. None of the disciples could even figure out then what Judas was going to do. Because he left. And the Bible says that they thought he left because he had to transact some business for the Passover. So I'm saying all this morning, folks, that Judas was one who outwardly had it all put together and yet ended up being the betrayer of Jesus Christ. Now, why did Judas betray Christ? Why did he do that? Well, it's very difficult to answer that from the human standpoint. And you know why? Because we're not told anything negative about Judas Iscariot. We're not told that he was jealous. We're not told that he was envious of Christ. We are not told that Judas was seeking vengeance when he betrayed Jesus Christ. So it's really hard to put a reason to why Judas betrayed Jesus from a human standpoint. But it's not hard when you look at it from a divine standpoint. When you look at it from God's viewpoint, now stick with me just for a couple of minutes this morning. Follow me if you will. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. And the Bible says that His death, His burial, and resurrection, watch this, unfolded according to the Scriptures. That's vital for you to notice. Okay, that's 1 Corinthians 15. More than once, twice in those passages, that passage. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection all took place as according to the Scriptures, meaning how it was written in the Scriptures, how it was prophesied in the Scriptures. Now, I want you to turn with me. Hold your finger here in Matthew 27. We're going to look at these verses in just a second. But I want you to turn with me to Psalm 41. Find the book of Psalms and just find chapter 41. Not that difficult because Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible, okay? So you go to the Old Testament book of Psalms, chapter 41, and look with me at verse number 9. Now, let me tell you what's happening here, okay? This is David writing these words. There was a time when David was king that he got run off the throne by his son Absalom. Do you remember that? Okay? There was a counselor that he had at that time by the name of Ahithophel. Ahithophel betrayed King David. Betrayed him, and he took up with Absalom. Okay? So Ahithophel, David's trusted counselor, took up with David's enemy. Now, David is writing about that. And by the way, it's interesting to me to realize that Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. Now, you think about that for a little bit. You know what happened to Bathsheba. You just wonder if all along Ahithophel had this ugly, unforgiving grudge against the man that he worked for. And when opportunity arose, boy, he betrayed David. David is writing about it in verse number 9. Look at it, what he says here, chapter 41, Psalms, verse number 9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. He's talking about Ahithophel. I want you to notice that he called him friend. I want you to notice that the Bible says he trusted him. He did eat of David's bread. He ate of David's provision. He lifted up his heel against me. David said, mine own familiar friend has betrayed me. Now, go back to Matthew 27, because not only is Psalm 41 talking about Ahithophel, Psalm 41 is also prophesying about Judas Iscariot. It's a prophecy about Judas. The Bible tells us in John chapter 13 and verse number 18 that Jesus quoted that verse from Psalms in reference to Judas. So Jesus went back to the Old Testament. He quoted Psalm 41:9 about Judas. And by the way, do you remember when Judas came to the garden and betrayed Jesus with a kiss? Remember what Jesus said to him? Friend. Friend. So David said in Psalm 41, my own familiar friend hath lifted up his heel against me. I trusted in him. He ate of my food. He betrayed me. That was talking about Ahithophel, but it was also a prophecy about Judas Iscariot. Okay? And it was done that way. The betrayal of Jesus Christ was done according to the Scripture. It happened as God said. We don't have time to turn there. In John chapter 13, verses 21 through 27, the Bible tells us that Satan entered into Judas. Now understand this, friend. God had said way back in the Garden of Eden, in Genesis chapter 3, that the devil would bruise the heel of Jesus Christ. The devil would do that. The devil would lift himself up against Christ and bruise his heel. That is a reference to the fact that Jesus would have his feet nailed to the cross. All right? Now, Judas was that one that Satan used to deliver Jesus Christ to the cross. But it was all in the divine plan of God for Jesus to go to the cross. It was there that Jesus made salvation available to all mankind. His death, His burial, and His resurrection was according to the Scripture. Just like God said. Then why Judas? Why was Judas that one that was chosen, if you will? Why was Judas that one in whom Satan entered and used Judas? Satan used Judas to betray Christ. Listen very carefully, friend, to what I'm about to say. Why Judas? Because God knew his heart. Do you remember when Samuel went to anoint the new king of Israel after Saul was rejected? Remember that? He goes into Bethlehem to the house of Jesse, and he tells Jesse, he says, "Jesse, I am here to anoint the next king of Israel. Do you have any sons?" And Jesse said, "Yes, I've got several of them." And the oldest son, Eliab, came and stood in front of the prophet Samuel. And the Bible says that when Samuel saw Eliab coming, Samuel made this statement, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me. This is him." You remember what God said? God said no. He said, "You're looking on the outward appearance. I can see the heart." There was something wrong with Eliab's heart. Samuel couldn't see it. Jesse couldn't see it. None of the others could see it. But God could see it. And just like God could see him. By the way, if you read the next chapter carefully, you learn a little bit about the naughtiness of Eliab's heart. He was a jealous man. Jealous man. And God saw Judas's heart. There was nothing about Judas's actions. There was nothing about Judas's behavior that ever gave him away to the other disciples. Folks, listen. These men lived with each other. They traveled with each other. They sat and listened to Jesus together. They saw Jesus do miracles together. Judas was with that group of 12. None of the other 11 ever saw anything in Judas that gave them any kind of clue that he would betray Christ. But God knew. Because God knew Judas's heart. There was something bad wrong in his heart. It was all according to God's plan. God chose a man in whom there was a bad heart. There was bad trouble there. And Satan entered into that man, Judas. And then Judas betrays Jesus and Jesus goes to the cross. It's hard to understand it from the human angle because when we look at Judas on this plane, we don't see anything wrong with him. But you got to understand, God looks from this plane. And God sees what no man can see. Now, it is this human angle that I want to talk about this morning. And I want us to be reminded of something from the human angle that happened here with Judas Iscariot. Look at verse number 1 in Matthew 27. Follow along. The Bible says, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death." Stop right there. You understand that Jesus was arrested at night. And do you understand that when they arrested him, they took him to Caiaphas's house, the high priest, and all through the night they held a trial against Jesus Christ. Do you know that was against the law? It was no more according to the law than us, than some judge pulling somebody out of the off the street or out of their house and setting up a court at 2 o'clock in the morning now. It was against the law for them to have this trial. They brought in false witnesses. Now, understand that Judas is there. He's watching all this. Understand that he had just previously put a kiss on Jesus' cheek and said, "This is Christ, take him." Now he's standing there and he's watching this happen. And the Bible says that all through the night, they put Jesus on trial and they finally decided that they're going to put him to death. Look at verse number 2. "And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." The Jews could not crucify anybody. They could not put anybody to death without the Roman authorities signing off on it. So what they did in the morning was they took Jesus to Pontius Pilate. He's the Roman governor. And they went there to get the Roman governor's approval to put Jesus to death. Now look at verse number 3. "Then Judas, which had betrayed him..." Now notice this. "When he saw that he was condemned..." Judas is hanging around. He sees this false trial. He sees these false accusers. And then he stands there as those men say, "What's your vote? I vote that he dies. What's your vote? I vote that he dies. What's your vote? I vote that he dies." It's unanimous. The council has decided we're going to put Jesus to death. And they haul him off to get the Roman governor's approval. And Judas sees all this. Look what it says in verse 3. repented himself. He was filled with regret. He was filled with remorse. Judas is standing there as they lead Jesus off to crucify him. And you know what Judas is thinking to himself? What have I done? What have I done? He's filled with horror. He's filled with remorse. He's filled with regret. He felt so badly. He felt so much remorse and so much regret. He said, I've got to fix this. I've got to be free from this. Look at verse number 3. Repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He said, hey, look, this thing has gone way further than I thought it would. This betrayal thing, and I don't want this. I made a huge mistake, and I don't want to be tied to this. And I never intended for this to go this far. I don't want this. What have I done? Here, take this money. And look at their reaction in verse number 4. What is that to us? See thou to that. You know what they said? We don't care. We don't give a flip about you. We're not concerned about you at all. We never were concerned about you. It's Christ that we want. Now look at verse number 5. The Bible says, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. He throws the money down to the ground and departs and went and hanged himself. Judas committed suicide. So overwhelmed with remorse, so overwhelmed with regret at what he had done. I never intended for it to go this far. I never intended for it to reach this place. What have I done? Please, here's this money. I have betrayed an innocent man. Stop this. Get away from us. And he goes out and hangs himself. Now, folks, that's a sad story. That's a sad, sad story. Wow. Judas, used by Satan to accomplish one thing, betray Jesus Christ, and then Satan throws Judas to the trash can. Basically what happens. Now, I want to give you three words that I'm going to tie to what this Bible is telling us here in verse number 3. That Judas, when he saw what was happening to Jesus, he's filled with regret, filled with remorse, thinking to himself, what have I done? We get the three words to tie to that. First of all, is the word myth. Myth? You say, Pastor, this is a true story. I'm not talking about the story. Here's what I'm talking about when I use the word myth. Look, I am not sure I'm not sure what Judas thought would be the end result of betraying Jesus Christ. Obviously, it wasn't to die. Right? Because as he's going to death, it's like, oh my goodness. So I'm not sure what Judas thought would come from his betrayal. But listen to me. Whatever it was that Judas thought it would be, it was a myth. It wasn't real. He was left with regret and remorse instead of whatever it was that he thought would be the result of it. And I thought to myself this week as I thought about this passage, this poor man, you say, Pastor, you have pity for Judas? Folks, he's horrified at what he's done. But he can't reverse it. He can't change it. And he tries to change it and they won't let him change it. And I thought to myself, oh, the devil promises oh so much. The devil puts people under the power of illusion. They believe things about sin that just aren't true. They're myths. They're myths. Remember, friend, that the devil is the father of all lies. He told the first lie in the Garden of Eden, and he has not ceased to continue to lie since then. And the devil always paints a deceptive picture of sin. He paints a myth about sin's enjoyment. He paints a myth about sin's pleasure. He paints a myth about the outcome of sin. I don't know what Judas thought would happen from the betrayal, but I know he never thought it would be this. Because he was filled with regret and remorse. And friend, I want to tell you something. He can't put the real picture for people to see about sin, because if he did put the real picture out, no one would choose sin if they were shown the real picture. You know, and I know, that kids end up with battered faces, wives end up with battered faces and broken lips, and homes are divorced because of alcohol. Have you ever seen that picture on a billboard? Ever. If you saw that picture on a billboard, it was promoting some agency that would help against abuse. But they never put the picture of the Bud Light. They never put the picture of the vodka. They never put the picture of the alcohol beverage, the wine bottle. They never put that with a wrecked car and dead bodies and people screaming, because he can't put that picture up with the alcohol. Nobody would drink. He sells it on a myth. You want to be happy? You want to enjoy life? You want to be able to escape your problems? Have a little drink. It's fine. That's a myth. That is a stinking myth. And that's how the devil works. He can't put the real picture up there for people to see. So he creates a myth. Just like he did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Hey, Eve, if you eat of this fruit that God told you not to eat of, it's because, you know, and by the way, the reason God told you not to eat of it is because if you eat of it, you're going to be like him and you're going to know things that only he knows, and that's why he kept you from it, because he doesn't want you to be. What a myth! It was all a myth! All the whole thing was a myth. And I'm here to tell you this morning, friend, I don't know what Satan said to Judas to make Judas betray Jesus. I don't know what Judas's end result was in his mind. But when he saw that Jesus was going to the cross to be crucified, he was horrified. That's not what he pictured. And when you're standing with sin having wrecked your life, you'll realize you bought into a myth. That's the power of the devil. It's a myth. Number two, there's a second word here that I see associated with this story on why Judas betrayed Christ. First of all, he bought into a myth. Number two is the word momentum. You say momentum. What do you mean by momentum? Look at the verse again. Verse number three, when he, Judas, saw that he, Jesus, was condemned. You know what, folks? This went way further than Judas had ever imagined. Way further. It did not go as he had expected, because he bought into a myth and it went a whole lot further than he expected. And that's how sin works. Sin always picks up momentum. It always picks up momentum. I've used this illustration before in the services here, but it's been some time ago. When we would travel from here or Iowa to my folks when they lived in Atlanta, when we'd go home to Atlanta for a visit, we would go down Interstate 24 south of Marion down here, and through Paducah, and on down through Nashville and Murfreesboro, and down toward Chattanooga. Between Murfreesboro and Chattanooga was Mont Eagle. Okay, you go up it, it's not bad, you go up, but coming down, going east, is treacherous. I forget what the grade is, what percent grade is. It's like 6%, 7% grade going down. And you know what they have? It's all done new now, of course, all more modernized. They have these digitalized signs up there now. You know, runaway truck ramp ahead. Runaway truck ramp ahead. And those semi-trucks would get going down Mont Eagle, and if it was a novice, if it was a guy who wasn't used to taking a heavy load down a mountain, he doesn't know how to drive that thing. You know what he's doing going downhill? He's picking up speed. Picking up speed. And what they'll do is they'll have a place for a runaway truck to exit the road. And usually it's a long, maybe 100 yards or so, 50, 75, 100 yards of just sand, and it goes right off of the interstate, and a guy who's picking up momentum going downhill and losing it, losing control, he can go on that runaway ramp, and the sand, it kind of goes up an incline, and the sand, some of you have seen it, I have seen semi-trucks buried up to their axles in sand because they lost control. Picking up momentum. Listen, that's how sin works. Sin picks up momentum. You know, somebody said, rightly so, many years ago, sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Are you listening this morning? It always picks up momentum. Always. Here is a man horrified that this went this far. What have I done? I never intended for it to go this far. How many times? You know, so many times. I mean, the carefully conceived plans involving a sinful choice get blown to bits. Because sin picks up momentum. How many times has a young adult man or a young adult woman made plans concerning sin? Only to end up further, much further than they ever intended. That's because that's the nature of sin. It picks up momentum. It expands. Here's an adult man. Here's an adult woman. They got everything planned. This is how it's all going to work out. This is what I'm going to do. And this is how it's going to work out. And 10 to 15 years later, what's worked out is a whole lot different than what was expected. And the situation is 100 times worse. Because that's sin. Sin picks up momentum. Picks up momentum. Picks up momentum. Folks, when that young boy left the father's house in Luke chapter 15, I don't think that Jewish boy ever intended to end up in a hog pen. But that's sin. Sin picks up momentum. It expands. It grows. It cannot be contained. Do you know what God uses in the Bible to symbolize sin? Some of you know. Leaven. Ladies, what does leaven do? Leaven is yeast. What does that do? Expands. It expands. Leaven in the dough is what causes the biscuits to rise. We had that yesterday morning. We had some good biscuits and gravy. Man, those things, they rose up, man. You think God in heaven just said, hey Gabriel, I need something to symbolize sin. What do you think will work to symbolize sin? Well, leaven is not used for anything. Yeah, yes, let's use that. You think that's how it happened? No. Why did God choose leaven? Because leaven, you can't change the property of leaven. Leaven expands, and you can't change the property of sin. Sin expands. It goes on a rampage. You can't contain it. You can't. Go ahead. Plan all you want to. Plan it all out. This is how it's all going to be. I'm going to make this choice in spite of what I know to be right, because you know what? I'm going to control it. You can't control it. It'll control you. That's the truth about sin. You can't control it. It picks up momentum. Can you put yourself in Judas's shoes in this place right here in Matthew 27? Can you stand there with Judas as he's horrified? He's horrified. And he listens to that council say, it's unanimous. We put him to death. Put some rope and chains on him. Let's take him to Pontius Pilate. And Judas is saying, what have I done? What in the world is happening here? What happened to that simple kiss on the cheek that was just supposed to betray? I'll tell you what happened. It's called momentum. It picks up speed. It picks up speed. It picks up speed. It expands. It grows. You can't contain it. Sin is a myth. Are you listening this morning? You say, boy, I didn't expect this when we started in this text. I didn't either. Until I was reading the Scripture the other day and that phrase just jumped out of that verse to me. I never had seen it. Read it 100 times, more than that. Never had seen it. There's a difference in just going over something and seeing it. This poor soul, watching Jesus Christ, he realizes, I bought into a myth. I bought into a myth. Are you listening? Sin is a myth. It's going to make me happy. No, it's not. It's going to steal, kill, and destroy. Because that's its nature. And this picture that you're contemplating in your mind is a myth. It's a myth. And it picks up momentum. It grows, it expands. You can't control it. There is a third word here associated with this text and what is going on with poor Judas here. Number one is the word, men, I hate to call him poor Judas because he did betray Christ. Shame on him. But brother, I'm convinced he's full of remorse. He commits suicide. You got the word miss, you got the word momentum, you got the word missed. 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 What do you mean, Brother Angel? Missed. Let me ask you a question, folks. How much did Judas miss because of his poor, unwise, sinful choice? How much did he miss? What did he miss? I'll tell you one thing he missed. He missed the post-resurrection fellowship with Christ. He was not there. After Jesus rose from the grave and the disciples are in the upper room and he was not there when Jesus came to them and the first word out of his mouth, peace. Peace. Judas wasn't there. He missed it. I want to tell you something. You make the wrong choice about sin, you're going to miss out on a lot of peace. I know what you're conjuring. I know what you're thinking. This is how it's all going to... No, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's a myth. And it's going to pick up momentum, and you're going to miss some things. You're going to miss some peace. You know what else he missed? He missed the ascension of Christ. He missed the ascension of Christ. Those guys, after 40 days, walked out to the Mount of Olives with Jesus, and Jesus spoke with them there. And while he was speaking with them, giving them his last orders, all of a sudden, his feet, body, defy the law of gravity, and he steps on a cloud and pushes the up button on the elevator, and up it goes, and the disciples are standing there, but not Judas. Whoa, what did we just see? Yeah, you miss out on a lot. You miss out on a lot about Jesus. When you go into sin, you miss out on peace. You miss out on a lot about Jesus. What else did Judas miss? He missed the powerful day of Pentecost. Can you imagine? Folks, 3,000 people. That's only a couple hundred more than we got here this morning. I'm joking. 3,000 people. Convert, get saved, trust in Jesus Christ, death, burial, resurrection. 3,000 in one day. One day. You know, I remember days here. We had the whole front of the auditorium lined up. I remember a day in the old auditorium, the old small, 10 adults lined up, trusting Christ as their Savior. You know, can you imagine 3,000? And now they've been saved, let's baptize. 3,000. Brother Gallus, can you imagine a revival like that, brother? How would Judas miss it all? He missed it all. He missed the day of Pentecost. He missed seeing some of those Jews who had hated Christ. He missed seeing their hearts melt and being pricked by the Holy Spirit and brought to the place of salvation. And seeing them trust Christ, he missed. You know what Judas missed? He missed seeing the church grow by multitude. Because just a few days later, 5,000 got saved. 3 and 5 is 8. They got a building problem. He wasn't there to see it. He wasn't there to see it. He missed the post-resurrection fellowship with Jesus. He missed the ascension of Christ. He missed the powerful day of Pentecost. He missed the seeing the church grow by multitudes. He missed the miracles. Do you remember when Peter and John were walking to the temple at the gate beautiful? And that poor man, alms, alms. And Peter said, I don't have any money to give you, but such as I have, give I unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Leaping and walking and praising God. Leaping and walking. He missed all those miracles where they would bring sick people and put them on the street and the shadow of Peter passing over them healed them. And even old Doubting Thomas saw it. Whoa! And Matthew, but not Judas. Not Judas. You know what he missed? Worst of all, he missed heaven. And he didn't miss heaven because he betrayed Christ. He missed heaven because he never got saved. Ever. Never got saved. Never gave his heart to Christ. Never submitted himself to the truth that he was a guilty sinner, worthy of hell, could not work his way to heaven, pay his way to heaven, be good enough to get to heaven, and embraced what Jesus Christ did for him, for his salvation. He missed heaven. You know what that means? You sit there, I stand here. You know where he is today? Because, folks, Judas hasn't ceased and no longer exists. No, he exists. He's in an awful place called hell. He missed heaven. And you know what? It sounds weird. I feel sorry for the guy. He bought into a myth. It picked up momentum. And he missed so much. I'm preaching my heart out this morning. I'm preaching my heart out this morning that you won't buy into a myth. Because if you do, it's going to pick up momentum. And you're going to miss so much. You're going to miss so much. It'll never be what you think it's going to be. Ever. 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 Ever be. What have I done? You know what, Judas? It's too late. It's too late now. What have I done? Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take the message and make and Lord, help us to think carefully this morning. I pray and ask for a powerful work of the Holy Spirit in hearts here today. I pray and ask, oh God, that you'll please speak to us as only you can. God, if I could just even begin to think how many times I've read this verse. And why now? Why now? Why did this verse, why did this phrase, why did this text come to life in my heart and eyes? Why now? I know why, God. You want to get a hold of somebody. I know why, please. Oh, God. Help us to see the myth about sin. Help us to see the momentum that sin is. Help us to see what we miss if we buy into the myth of sin. Please. Please help us, oh God. May the reality of this text fall clearly on our hearts this morning. I ask, oh God, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Just a question or two this morning before we have the invitation time. I wonder who would say, Pastor, I don't know what you meant by all that as far as who's on your heart or what's on your heart, but the Holy Spirit put it on my heart. And man, I pray for me. I don't want to stand someday and ask the question, what have I done? I don't want to do that. God spoke to me about it this morning. Maybe it's not you're contemplating anything right now, but just God sent it as a warning shot across the bow of your life. Don't ever make the mistake of buying into the myth of sin. Young person, don't ever make the mistake of buying into the myth of sin. Pastor, I don't want to stand someday and ask that question. What have I done? Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up wherever you may be seated this morning? Just pray for me. I don't want to do that. Thank you. Take your hands down. Appreciate God's working in your heart this morning. Now, here's a question that's vitally important. I wonder here today how many would say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I got a Bible answer, a Bible reason for why I know I would go to heaven. I know I'm saved. I've trusted in Christ. There's no doubt about it. If you can say that honestly before God, would you lift your hand this morning just as a sign of that testimony? Thank you. Take your hands down. Is there one here today who would say, no, I couldn't lift my hand just then, and that concerns me a little bit. Pastor, I do not know if I was to die that I would go to heaven. I'm not going to call your name. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just would like to know, Pastor, I could not say that. I cannot say that honestly. Would you slip your hand in the air? Somebody like that this morning, just slip it up. Where I can see it, take it right back. This is not to join the church, become a Baptist. This is just pray for me. I couldn't say that I'm saved. All right, then if you've been saved and you know that you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism and you came prepared to do that this morning, to obey Christ, and then why don't you come now while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip out of your seat and come. We'll have one of the men meet you down here and help you get prepared for believer's baptism. You come while we wait, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I'm afraid I've already bought into the myth of sin and things are really further than what I thought they would be, and I sure do need God to help me. I don't want to miss out, because folks, here's the thing about it, as long as you have life and breath, you can get some help. And Pastor, I need some help. Pray for me this morning. Would you slip your hand, be honest enough to raise your hand this morning? Yes, I see your hand. God bless you. Somebody else? Somebody else. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. I pray and ask, oh God, that you'd please speak to our hearts. Thank you for the hands that have been raised, indicating that God, in some way, shape, or form, you spoke to them about something. Help us not to buy into the myth of sin, because it picks up momentum, God, and we'll miss out on so much. God, please help us not to stand someday and ask the question, what have I done? Help us to be wise and walk with you and do right. And protect us. Bless anybody here, God, who needs to help, needs to be helped with this. Lord, help anybody who needs to be saved to come and be saved this morning or follow you. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation while we wait. You come this morning. While we wait, you obey the Lord. Did God speak to your heart this morning? Oh God, what have I done? Keep us from it, oh God. Be careful of sin's myth. Don't buy into it. It's not real. It's a lie. It's just an illusion. And it will pick up speed. It will pick up momentum. There's no doubt about it. And you miss out on so much. Miss out on so much. God, help us to know that.